We come to the great feast of the archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, and by extension, all the angels. Of course, we will have another feast of the angels on Saturday, the guardian angels. It's a feast that the church celebrates with great joy, but it's also an entry into mystery, into an area of reality that is quite strange to us, unfamiliar. We can't see it. We don't have evidence, or very little evidence. So let's start, before we start with the spirit world, let's start with the physical world. When we examine the physical world, we start with what we can see, but then as the growth of science and technology aids us, we start to be able to see things we can't see with our unaided eye. So we get a microscope and we say, oh, we can see bacteria. We get a more powerful microscope and we can see the individual parts of things living and dead. We get all the way down to what used to be considered the smallest possible particle, an atom. I don't think you can see atoms on a microscope, but then the scientists realized, well, wait a minute, even atoms are made up of protons and electrons and neutrons. And okay, so then we have these three subatomic particles. And then the scientists say, well, wait a minute, you can even get smaller subatomic particles. I don't know, there's lots of them, but I don't know what they are. Okay, so we realize, oh, there's a lot more to reality than we can see in the microscopic world. Then we go to the macroscopic world. We look up into the heavens and we see the stars, the planets. We say, wow, there's so many stars. Well, not in Manila, we don't see stars, but if you go out into the province at night, you see just countless stars. Then we get a telescope and we say, whoa, there's many more stars than we could see without the telescope. Then we get a more powerful telescope and we say, wait a minute, some of these things we thought were stars are actually whole galaxies. Then we get more powerful telescopes and we launch them into space and they look beyond what we could see. In fact, we don't even depend on visible light anymore. We look at infrared images and we find out not only are there galaxies, but there are galaxies and galaxies. There are many, many more stars than what we see from Earth. In fact, we see a very, very small fraction of what actually exists out there. And that's just the physical world. It's much more complicated and much bigger than we realize. Now, when it comes to the physical world, everybody nowadays is preoccupied with viruses. We can't see them either. None of us has ever seen a virus. We don't even really know what they are. They're not alive exactly. They're not dead. They're some kind of parasite. They can't live on their own, but if they get the right place, environment, meaning the coronavirus has to live in the human respiratory system somewhere, it can replicate. So that much we know. But there's a lot we don't even know about a virus that the whole world has been studying and talking about for a year and a half. Okay. It's mysterious. Well, if we have this much mystery when it comes to the physical world, what about the spirit world? It's much more mysterious. It's much vaster, more power, more is going on in the spirit world than in the physical world. It used to be that the ancients believed, and I mean, up until the scientific age, everybody believed that the physical world was actually guided by the spirit world. So the planets were pushed around by angels, and the stars were made bright because of angels. Now that to modern ears sounds like a lot of mythology, but there's actually something to it. Because the spirit world is much more powerful than the physical world, and it makes sense that God uses spirit powers, angels, to run the world. Why not? Now, because the scientific age says that you can't believe in anything you can't see or touch or measure, they say, well, the angels are just made up. In fact, the angels, if you read the theologians about this, angels are so diverse that one angel is a whole species. There's no categories of angels that are like species of animals or plants. So one angel is as different as another angel, as a whole species of animal, or more different than one species is from another. So all dogs are kind of similar, but all angels are not similar like that. They're more different. We have names we use for the different roles of angels. You know, we have angels and archangels, and we have cherubim and seraphim and thrones and powers and dominions. But we have ways of describing what those angels do, but it's still very mysterious to us. According to the scriptures, there are seven angels that are in the presence of God. Three of them we know by name: Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. Michael, considered the most powerful, the prince of the heavenly host, his name means who is like God. So if anyone comes along and claims to be like God, that's what Satan did. If anyone comes along and challenges the place of God, Michael will show up and say, who's like God? You're not going to tell me you're like God. I know there's no one like God. Michael will defend the God. He's the warrior angel, Saint Michael. Gabriel's name means God is strength, the strength of God. So if anyone comes along seeking or needing strength from God, Gabriel will be the one to aid him or her. We know Gabriel is the messenger of who brought the good news to Zechariah and to the Blessed Virgin. We assume it's also the angel who spoke to Saint Joseph. Although in the scripture it doesn't say the name of the angel that spoke to Joseph, but we assume it's Gabriel. And then there's Raphael or Raphael. His name means God's remedy or God's healing. And he's well known because of the book of Tobit, an angel who guided Tobias and protected him and drove out the evil spirit from his wife, and then healed the Tobit of his blindness. So Raphael has many roles. We, in this time of pandemic, have been invoking Saint Raphael every day. In fact, we invoked yesterday's saint every day, San Lorenzo Ruiz. So yesterday, San Lorenzo Ruiz, today, Saint Raphael the Archangel. Every single day at the end of our Oratio Imperata, we pray to these intercessors: Our Lady, Saint Joseph, Saint Raphael the Archangel, San Roque, San Lorenzo, Luis, and San Pedro Caluso. The skeptic says, well, if you're praying every day for a year and a half, why is this pandemic not over yet? The believer says, we don't know what we would be facing if we had not been praying for a year and a half. According to the statistics, at least in the Philippines, some 38,000 people have died from COVID-19. 38,000. Which, I mean, yes, some people say, yeah, if you're in a country of over 100 million, 38,000 isn't very many, and how many of them would have died anyway in the space of a year and a half? Older people or people with other medical conditions, so it's hard to measure that. But how many more might have died if we weren't praying? But actually, that's not the right question, because the work of the angels is not primarily to keep us from dying. The work of the angels is to unite us to God, to facilitate our relationship with God. In fact, the angels want us to join them in worshiping God. Yes, they guide, they protect, they heal. They certainly do. But their main work is worship of God. They are part of our connection to God. If dying of COVID-19 leads us to union with God, well, then that's a good thing. We have to keep this in perspective here. We're not going to live here forever. We have to die of something. If we die of COVID-19 and we go straight to God, well then, hallelujah. The angels are very happy about it. If we are infected with the virus and are healed, and that leads us to God, hallelujah. It did its work. God used the virus to remind us of our dependence on Him and of His power. I think some 2 million people in the country have been infected and have recovered. 2 million is a lot of people. 2% of the whole population has recovered. I don't know, these statistics are hard to get exact, but this shows how much healing has been taking place. And a lot of people, I know a lot of people myself, and so do you, a lot of people who have been infected and frightened and turned to God, their faith was strengthened and they realized, what I really need is God. That's what I really need. And then they recover and their faith is stronger. Well, see the good fruit that the angels have brought about for the glory of God? So what happens on a feast day like this is our spiritual vision is sharpened. Our hearts are raised up to God and to the invisible mysteries that are always present, and we just don't notice them. But as I say, the main work of the angels is worship of God, and they help us do the same. So when we come to the Mass, as we're here now, when we come to Mass, we're uniting ourselves with the angels. And this comes up in the prayers of the Mass all the time. When we pray the Confiteor, I confess to Almighty God, what do we say in the middle of it? We say, therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me. So from the very beginning of the Mass, we're asking the angels to pray for us. Then, shortly after that, we get to the Gloria. Where do we get the Gloria from? From the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. That's what the angels sang at the birth of Christ, remember? That's what the shepherds heard. Glory to God in the highest. That's what angels are always talking about, the glory of God. And so we join them in giving glory to God. In a few minutes, we're going to get to the Sanctus, the Holy, Holy. What do we say? Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. Where do we get that from? From the angels. That's what the angels say. Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. God, Lord God of hosts. What are hosts? Angels. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So that's what we're going to say. And you know, very often the preface, which comes right at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, has an invocation of the angels. It goes something like this. You've heard this many, many times. I'm just reminding you of how close we are to the angels when we're at Mass. We honor Christ our Lord. Through him, the angels praise your majesty, talking to the Father. Dominions adore. Dominions are one of the choirs. And powers tremble before you. The powers are choirs of angels. Heaven and the virtues of heaven. The virtues are choirs of angels. And the blessed seraphim, other choir of angels, worship together with exultation. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in humble praise as we acclaim, holy, holy, holy. So, well, we don't think of this because we become familiar with the language, but when we come to Mass, it's not just something we do. We're joining something that's going on all the time. Worship of God. What do you think angels do all the time? They worship God. Okay, so it's a great privilege for us to be able to celebrate the angels and to be reminded of not only of what they do, but of what we're supposed to do. Yes, we have a lot of practical things to deal with. We have to eat, sleep, we have to go shopping, we have to take medicine so we don't get COVID-19. We have all kinds of things to do. But in all that we do, we are to unite ourselves with the holy angels in giving glory to God. Those of us who have the privilege of daily Mass should be very, very aware of this. The greatest way we can spend our time is in the Mass. And if we can do it, well, my goodness, we're in heaven already. But the rest of the day, we're not at Mass. We are still in the presence of God. We are still glorifying Him, worshiping Him. In all that we do, even when we're sleeping, angels don't sleep, but we have to sleep sometimes. But the angels watch over us and help us unite our rest with our worship. Okay, well, there's many things we can say about angels, but let's just unite ourselves with them, especially here in the Mass, and give glory to God, the Holy One, the Holy, Holy, Holy One. Because God is holy, He deserves all worship, all honor, glory from us.